Welcome to The Peak Elevated. I'm Chaim Goldman, The Watchman, and this is our bonus interview segment that we love to do with our broadcast guests because we have great guests and we have them in the studio and we run out of time. And that's such a shame, but they're all warmed up. And as you've heard me say before, I like to say, I turn to the guests and say, what do you really want to talk about now that we're off the air? And something that is really on Di's heart and mine too, you've heard me talk about it, is what's going on the college campuses. It obviously is where revolution is fomented, potentially positive. This one doesn't feel that way. And it's really ground zero for the takeover of the United States that Islam wants to do, really just a Marxism, destabilization, all of those things. And so Di is going to talk about, getting to our youth in a positive way. Di Suphan, founder of Prayer Surge Now. Welcome to The Peak Elevated.
Thank you. And this is very personal for me because my nephew just finished his first year at Columbia University.
Really?
Yes. And my my nephew is Jewish. My sister left the church and became a Jew and married a Jewish fella, a nice Jewish guy.
And hey, we're all nice.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. In fact,
by the way, we're on the radio. Dice Up is Korean, if you haven't figured. And but Korean and Jewish now.
And I love my brother-in-law. When he asks questions about the Old Testament, he asks me rather than his rabbi. I don't know. But anyway, so obviously, him going to Columbia University, I had great concern, but he doesn't look like a target because he's half Korean. So he hasn't had the mistreatment and the shoving and the punching and the yelling profanity towards his direction. But no kid in any university, no one, period, should go through that, through what our Jewish students are going through, whether they are Messianic Jew, Orthodox, Reform, or atheist
secular,
Jew.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, any person, right? And I would say the same thing if Arabs are being targeted or if Blacks or Asians are being targeted, right?
Well, if that was happening, we'd hear about it.
That's
There'd
right.
Be more
that's
of
right.
An outcry. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. I really believe that. I believe it's spiritual. I believe there's a mark on the Jewish people from Satan himself. And unfortunately, the church with the wrong gospel have been the main perpetrator of the persecution of the Jewish people.
And I know you didn't mean it this way, but when you say a mark of Satan on the Jewish people, that can be seen as
sorry.
So why don't you correct that?
Yeah, Satan marking them for devastation, trying to destroy and wipe them out. And he almost did under Hitler, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. Of course, they have a mark of God rather than a mark of Satan on them. Yeah. So my concern is, how did millions of young people overnight, almost overnight, become anti-Jew and pro-Hamas? That really concerns me. That tells me that's another indication that the church is asleep, that we're not engaging with the culture, that these bright kids who go to Harvard and USC and Columbia, so on and so forth, Stanford, they would listen to a lie through social media and just go with it. In fact, some of these kids interviewed who were protesting, they were asked by the reporters, so what are you protesting? And some of these kids said, I don't know. I'm just here because my friends are here. And I know that during college years, we are very influenced by our peers. But what if we raised up a generation of young leaders in the church, in the evangelical church, that knew how to engage with the culture, knew how to speak truth and love, and was able to guide their friends away from lies and to the truth?
Why isn't that happening? It would seem so obvious, the role of the church.
Well, I think because we don't have enough passion for the younger generation. For some reason, a typical Christian thinks, oh, my kid goes to Sunday school and hears wonderful, comforting stories about Jesus. Oh, now my kid is growing up and now is part of a youth group. Oh, he's having a lot of fun. But we need radical discipleship, right? Radical discipleship so that more of our kids would want to be like Jesus and like Paul would see right through an argument. Hey, that is full of lies. Okay. Let me tell you the truth of what Israel's really like. Israel as a nation has given opportunities to Arabs. Israel, Arabs can serve in the military. Arabs can own businesses. It is nothing like South Africa. But unfortunately, the left-leaning media, along with socialists and communists and Marxists and radical Islamists, have convinced these young people that Israel's to the blame. In fact, none of that stuff really happened on October 7th. That is so bizarre.
I know. We call it Holocaust denial in real time, Douglas Murray has said. So what have you found to be effective in reaching young people? I mean, what I'm seeing, first of all, is the challenge that they were unchurched, which in some ways can be advantageous, and certainly it seems the Muslims are taking advantage of it by romanticizing the revolutionary nature of Islam. But as I say, if these young American women think that American men are toxic, wait till you hang with a jihadist. But they've been unchurched, so in some ways they're looking for spirituality. But Christianity is seen as so passé, as so, you know, it's wrong. It's been proven wrong. There's no relevance. How do we make it relevant, to the younger generation? Because that just doesn't seem to be being done. We have these youth programs where maybe there's pizza and they preach the gospel, but they're obviously looking for more of this generation for them to be going this far with pro-Hamas and all that.
Well, it begins with our homes. It begins with our churches. Because if we're not doing it ourselves, then we will not be able to do it with the culture, right? So what I love about the Old and New Testament, what I love about the teachings of Jesus and Apostle Paul, is that it's not only a head knowledge, which I think dominates the American Christianity, it's experiential relationship with the living God, right? So when my son went to Guatemala and served the needy and saw how people really lived there, he came back thinking, wow, I have a good. And also, I felt so good that I was able to hang out with these poor Guatemalan kids living on garbage dumps. He felt good about himself because he felt like God was using him, right? So I think that our kids are much more ready to be bold and take risks. And I think that we need to get out of the safe Christianity and trying to keep our kids comfortable. We need to allow our kids to get a little bit uncomfortable, right? It'd be amazing if a church from the northern part of Colorado Springs had a sister church down in the south, a Black or Hispanic church, right? And play hoops together, do projects together, share the gospel together. I think we need to do that within the church first. Not that it has to be perfect, and then we can engage with the culture.
So, I've been beating that drum for years. Here the churches, although the pastors are friendly with each other and they see each other, but there doesn't seem to be any kind of real networking or working together between the churches. Have you found anything to be effective to get that to happen so we can see that more, that we can really be a body here, the church, big C, in the Pikes Peak region?
Sure. I do have deep admiration and respect for pastors, but I have the same Holy Spirit that they do, right? So rather than waiting for a church or a pastor, right? You're an activist too in God's kingdom.
Yeah, I know. Pastors can be the hardest thing to get through,
so,
right? It's the bottleneck.
So instead of whining and complaining about what's not happening, I need to do that, right? So for example, I'm going to gather some friends and maybe even some people I never met before, and we're going to go out into the streets of Colorado Springs and share the gospel this Saturday. What is that? May 18th. This may be heard afterwards, but yeah. We need to do
Global Outreach Day we talked about in the broadcast.
Listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and act upon it and not wait for somebody else to do it and sit around, because if we did that, nothing will happen.
And if the pastor is not going to give us authority, where do we get our authority from, Di? How are we allowed to go out and just
Haim, Yeshua had the same question. Who gave you the authority?
Right, well, they questioned him.
That's right. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit has given us the authority. So we don't have to go against our pastor and the congregation that we're part of, but we could also do things outside, of the four walls of the church.
Well, he knows. As a fellow activist, we try top down, and when that doesn't work, we go bottom up, and that's right. And that's what the peak is. You know, the mainstream media and the billions of dollars, you know, is inaccessible. But you can do a scrappy little radio show here that broadcasts out over the same airwaves here. So, Dysup, thank you so much. Thanks for being my friend. Thanks for what you're doing in the region. We got 30 seconds left. Encouragement. For those
sure.
who are listening.
You know, I am ordained. I'm not a pastor of a local congregation, so I have a card that has the REV in front of my name. But I don't want to be called a reverend. I'd rather be called a revolutionary for Jesus Christ. So let's all be revolutionaries in God's kingdom.
Okay. Thank you, Dysup Hamm, founder and director of Prayer Surge Now, for being on The Peak Elevated. I am Goldman, the watchman for The Peak.